drinks if you need them. We're going to be singing two songs. These are ritually sung every morning in my home as I begin the day. Number 114 and number 59, again, if you need the music. We'll sing through as morning breaks twice and then move to Come and Fill Our Hearts. We'll sing two verses, love, peace and love, and then I'd like us to just hum the third one.
Good morning. We gather again to worship our God, our Creator. And we come as we are, some of us exhausted and some of us energized, some of us grieving and some of us rejoicing, some of us distracted, some of us focused. No matter how we come, let us give ourselves to the one who sustains us, the one in whom we maintain our hope. This morning, we look forward to hearing a testimony from Rhiannon Harrison. This is a time for Rhiannon to share more deeply, and we give thanks for the privilege of hearing from her life and witness. Please join me in the call to worship by turning in your blue hymnal, the back of your blue hymnal, to number 664. Six, six, four. Watch, wait, the day of God is at hand.
Like the blood on the tree, God's possibilities are about to blossom.
Stay awake, the reign of God is very near.
We are here, watching and waiting with hope.
May God bring justice to all people on this day. May God's reign come on earth as in heaven. Please pray with me. O God, we come together to worship, realizing we need not summon you into our midst, for you are here. We need not call you into the secret places of our hearts, for you are there. We do need our eyes of faith to be opened, that we may see you, our ears to be unstopped, that we may hear you, our minds to be sensitive, that we may know you, our hearts to be tender, that we may receive you. Grant each one a blessing, O Lord, as each has need. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in song.
We're going to start with a couple energetic songs, so I'd like you to stand. Comes from way back. Fear not, for I'm with you. If anybody would, oh good, William's drumming. Fear not, and then we'll sing Fill My Cup. Memory, clap.
Thank you.
requested by Rhiannon today. Though it may be a little long, we're going to sing through it.
We come to our time of offering, a time to share what God has given us back with the church and with God. May the ushers come forward to collect our offering.
Thank you. ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you give your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be? I've been hiding, afraid I've left inside. I doubt that you still love me, but in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause, you right the wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can he be? Give me mine. You say that I am free. Yeah. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can he be? Yeah. How can he be? Yeah.
Let us give thanks. God, our offerings proclaim that work and worship are one, that life is undivided. Use these gifts for your church's ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen. We invite the children forward to the front here for children's time.
Let them come, let them come, let your children come to me. I have time, said the Savior tenderly. Let them come, let them come, please don't send them away.
good morning to you. I'm kind of thirsty, so I think I'm going to pour myself some water. What do you guys think? Should I do this?
No!
Why not? This is children's time, Brian. Would you like to make your way to the front? What will happen if I pour the water on this plate? It's going to go everywhere, isn't it? It's going to kind of make a mess. No, I don't think I'm going to do that. What? Why is the water going to run everywhere if I pour it on here? Because it's flat? Is this a better container? Should I try that? All right. Yeah, that worked out pretty well. I didn't get a towel up here, otherwise I guess I could have poured water on this plate, but maybe I'll have to do that next time. But the reason that this cup holds water and the plate doesn't is because it has edges, or we might say it has boundaries, right? And the boundaries help keep the water in. Otherwise, we might have a mess, right? All over the floor. And I think humans are kind of like the water in here. And that if we don't have good boundaries, that things can kind of get out of hand and a mess can happen, right? So at your stage of life, probably your parents set some boundaries for you. If they're not setting boundaries for you, they probably should be, and I need to talk to them. So let me know if your parents aren't setting any boundaries for you, all right? You probably think maybe rules is the word that comes to your mind for boundaries, right? So your parents will say, okay, you have to go to bed at a certain time. That's a boundary that they're setting. They might say, okay, you can't eat a dozen donuts in one setting because that's not going to be good for you, right? So they're setting boundaries because they love you and they care for you and want what's best for you. Now, when you become an adult like me, my parents aren't setting the boundaries for me anymore. If you become an adult and your parents are still setting your boundaries, come talk to me so I can talk to them because they shouldn't be doing that anymore. It's kind of confusing, I know. But when you become an adult like me, there's no parents telling me how to set my time, when to go to bed, how much donuts to eat. And so there's a lot of decisions that I have to make. Now, there are people who set boundaries for me. So I work here at the church, and they gave me a job description and said there's certain things I need to do, certain hours I need to work. And so in that sense, they've set some boundaries for me. But sometimes it can be hard to set those boundaries. And so sometimes adults get someone like a counselor or a spiritual director who they work with that helps them set those boundaries so that they can make good decisions. Pretty soon, we're going to hear from someone in the congregation. Her name is Rhiannon, and she's going to tell you a little bit about boundaries and how life was getting a little bit out of hand, and so she decided to set some different boundaries. So I hope you can pay attention to her and see what she has to say about boundaries. All right? And remember, boundaries are good, because if we didn't have boundaries, then our life would kind of be a mess, just like the water spilling everywhere. So thanks for coming up, and you can head back to your seats. A reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
I have my water with me because I'm a little bit sick, so hopefully I can make it through without coughing too much. So you have seen me often up here, but I have been leading music. So this, I think, is the first time that I've actually shared just a reflection. So I'm a little bit nervous. It's kind of interesting. I've never felt like this before. So I'm going to share just about my reflections in this time off that I've been at home. I know that sometimes when people give a testimony, they might share more about their life, their story. But I feel like God has been speaking to me a lot in these 3 months. So let me just give you a little bit of background. So what has brought me to this point of being at home for a semester? I was assistant principal at Elkhart Central High School for 2.5 years. There were 6 of us administrators. And I really appreciated my job. I really did. I loved enrollments. I loved welcoming new families, particularly in Spanish, making them feel at home. I loved testing, even though you say, oh, no, testing. But I loved the organization of it and the communication. I felt like I could communicate well with teachers, having been a teacher before. And I loved working with teachers and staff and students, and mentoring them. The amount of work was overwhelming. And you might say, well, you kind of knew that when you got into it. Well, I did and I didn't. I would say I worked more than 65 hours a week in normal weeks, 50 hours just at the building, then an additional 10 hours after the kids went to bed. And then probably roughly 5 hours a week with games and other activities. So around 65 hours a week. This time was pretty hard, being away from my family. I also regularly questioned the return on investment, the return on the time and the effort that I was putting in. I felt like the team environment did not utilize affirmation or bring out the best in others. I felt like more and more was being added with no sign of relief. And there were several times that I was called out in front of the other administrators about mistakes that I had made. So for all of these reasons, I decided that I needed a break. Kind of like what Ben was saying, I said, okay, this is a boundary for me. I need a break from this. So I am on a personal leave from Elkhart Community Schools for one semester. And I want to share just some things that I have learned in this time off. I have been reading a book called The Cup of Our Life by Joyce Roop. And I'm going to share some of my thoughts based on that book. When I felt stressed, pressured, and other feelings, overwhelming feelings, I felt like all of my energy and time was draining away. I felt unable to find time to pray and reflect as I would have liked. People, events, responsibilities kept me hurrying and worrying with little time left for my inner self. In this book, The Cup of Our Life, Joyce talks about the cup that has boundaries. It has sides and has a bottom. And I am going to use this bowl that was given to me by my spiritual director. It has sides and a bottom. It has boundaries. So throughout this, I'm going to be referring to the bowl. And I would invite you to think about a bowl. Or if you have a cup nearby, maybe your favorite cup that you use to drink coffee, think about the boundaries that it has. The bowl speaks about boundaries. If it didn't have the boundaries of the sides and the bottom, it could not hold anything. It has an opening. It is able to give and receive. Boundaries keep it from spilling everywhere. In the same way, we must have boundaries around the time we need to connect with our deeper selves. Everyone else cannot always come first. I will say that again because that speaks to me. Everyone else cannot always come first. Even Jesus put himself first at those times when he prayed alone or went apart from his ministry so that he could renew his inner resources. And I have an example from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Other boundaries that I've realized that I don't have or didn't have in my life were physical boundaries. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating healthy. So all of these things were red flags to me. I chose the Sermon on the Mount scripture this morning because I feel that it reminds us of times when we have blessings, even through the hard times and the pain in our lives. So I have five reflections that I would like to share with you. So during this time, I will phrase the question, and I will invite you to reflect on the question. And then I will have a time of silence. And during that time, I invite you just to think about your own life. And then I will share some things that I have learned just on each of those questions. So the bowl has taught me about blessing. So I'm going to ask for the first slide. If the slides are working, great. If not, that's okay. Okay. Blessing. So I invite you to reflect during this time. What parts of your life have been abundant and full? And if it helps you to cup your hands as a bowl or just to think about a bowl in general, what parts of your life have been abundant and full? Let your bowl be a symbol of abundance. Gather your many blessings and visualize them filling the bowl. Ways that I have seen blessing. I have spread my wings as a leader in this position. I have thrived working with teachers and students. I have shown hospitality to parents, particularly Spanish-speaking parents. And then thinking specifically about my time off, I have enjoyed my time with Micah. I've realized that the 4 years of his life have been very busy for me. So I have enjoyed that time specifically with him. And I have also enjoyed the long weekends that I've had with each kid individually. That has felt abundant and full to me. Next is connection. So think about who has nurtured and enriched your life. Remember those who have assisted your inner growth, those who have nurtured and enriched you. Fill your bowl with gratitude for them. I have a long list of people who have nurtured and enriched my life. Teachers, staff who have shared personal notes, affirmations, particularly when I said that I was taking a leave. Friends who are here, Angela and Katrina. My spiritual director, Julie. You all, my church family and friends, particularly my small group who has prayed with me during this time, and my family. All of those people have nurtured and enriched my life. The third way that the bowl has taught me is through suffering. So I invite you to think, what wants to be relieved or healed? Place within the bowl hurts or difficulties of the journey. What is longing to be released, relieved, healed? Visualize healing love touching each hurt. Remember others who are needing release from suffering. I think that this idea of suffering particularly matches Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So first I must say that I feel like I have never truly suffered in my life. That I know a lot of suffering that you all have been through, and I must say that I don't really feel like I've suffered. So pain and suffering is all relative. But as I think about suffering, I feel that one way that I suffered was I was giving so much of myself, so much energy, at a greater rate than it was being replenished. I was giving and giving and giving and not really receiving much in return. I saw suffering in the eyes of my children. When I would fall asleep reading books to them at night or not having energy to play with them, I saw that they were suffering. And so I was suffering. So these were times that the bowl taught me about suffering and boundaries. The fourth thing that I have learned from the bowl is the idea of dreams. Thinking about dreams that I have, or dreams that we have, what longs to come to life in you was a question that I thought about. Let the bowl contain your dreams and what you love to do. Place within it your inmost hopes. What longs to come to life in you? I think that this particularly matches the scripture Matthew 5, verses 6 and 7. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I enjoy working with people who are underrepresented. I taught ESL for 12 years, and most of the people that I worked with were from Spanish-speaking countries, Central and South America and Mexico. And I felt like they were underrepresented. And so I wanted to give them a voice. So what longs to come to life in me is being able to do this, give a voice to the voiceless, to build relationships, even when I felt like I didn't have time. I took time to develop relationships with people. And I felt like that is what connected me and kept me grounded. The fifth and last point that I have learned is life, the bowl of life. So what has yet to be given to me? What has yet to be given to you? Hold the bowl before you in the gesture of a beggar. Look at all the room for filling. Remember, this source has no limits, no boundaries, no expectations. So what has yet to be given to you? As I read Matthew 5, this verse particularly connected with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In thinking about what has yet to be given to me, I feel like the way that I impact teachers, I have thought about all different jobs that I could have next. I thought about leaving education and going to industry. I've thought about just staying at home with my family. But I feel inside that I can impact teachers. How they teach, how they interact with their students, the ways that they interact with staff. I feel like I have a gift in that. So what has yet to be given? Peace about my future, my next job. I don't know what will be next. All I know is I don't want to go back to the way that things were. So I have accepted an 8-week position at Northridge High School, which is a maternity leave for an assistant principal. I'm excited about this opportunity to still be in administration, but also try something new. But that's temporary. So I'm still in search of what's next. I still feel called to leadership in education, but I don't know what, I don't know where. So what has yet to be given is this peace about what will happen. One thing I do know, though, is that in my next job, I will seek boundaries. I will seek wholeness as a leader. I have heard that leadership is a lonely place. But I don't want it to be that way. I want to be relational, interactive. I want to share leadership and responsibilities with others. So those are my thoughts. I am thankful for this time that I've had to share with you. I'm thankful for this time that I've been able to be at home and to reflect. And I'd like to close this time with a prayer for us. So I invite you to close your eyes, breathe. Sense the breath circulating through your body. Loving God, thank you for sending love down that we might fill it, feel it within us and around us. Help us to remember that we are containers of this divine love. Help us to receive the strength and courage that this love brings. Remind us to focus on your loving presence within us and in all of our lives. Amen.
A song of response. Rhiannon invited us to sing number 614, a song that we all love to sing, I think, but also holds this maybe a little bit like a bowl, the possibilities. Let's sing number 614.